Hello from Bear and Kura, a podcast from the Land of Oz Information Services. I love you, Kura.
I love you, Bear.
This is episode 113 of the Bear and Kura podcast. We're going to talk about the Olympics.
What did you think of the Olympics opening ceremony?
Boats. Really?
You didn't like it?
No.
It was
probably one of the worst that I've ever seen.
Yeah. I think it's funny how it's getting a big uproar about everything. I guess the reason they did the boats is they want everything to revolve around the Seine. It's okay. So I pronounced it perfectly.
I think that's the French word for a river.
Yeah, and so they wanted to revolve around that, and I guess they're actually holding events in it. But they said if they tried to hold the events the day they were doing that, the E. coli level was too high. But apparently the French government spent millions or billions of dollars trying to clean it because they wanted to do this for the Olympics. But during it, with the boats going, I remember I said, look at the size of those waves. I don't know if it was just the wake from the boats.
Oh, from all the boats, probably.
Okay, because, I mean, you wouldn't be able to row, and you wouldn't be able to swim competitively in that kind of condition. So, I don't know. It was artistic. I watched
the boats,
it twice.
Really, the only view you got of the athletes, and particularly the flag bearers, was, like, from a drone, like, 50 feet in the air.
Yeah.
It didn't feel very personal at all. It felt like you were watching it from a satellite or something.
Yeah. One thing that's positive about it, I mean, it looked like if you were anybody, you could go and watch it. So you didn't have to buy a ticket to go. You know what I mean?
Isn't it that way every Olympics?
You can go, you know, they
could. Do they close the whole city and you have to pay to get in?
Oh, it costs money, yeah. To go see those events, it costs money.
I don't mean in the stadium. I mean, when the athletes are coming in.
The opening ceremonies? That's what I'm saying. Normally it's in a stadium, the opening ceremonies. And it's and so you have to pay for that ticket to see it. So this time you didn't have to. I mean, you could stand along. Well, I don't know, but I would imagine you couldn't shut down that large of an area, I'd imagine.
Oh.
To make money, I guess you could.
And probably all the landlords threw out all their tenants months ago so that they could rent them out as
Airbnbs and stuff that. Yeah. Well, they said that the Olympic Village are actually turning into apartments afterwards, which is smart, but it is a shame because most of the time these cities are, people think they make millions off of it, and I think most of the time the cities are left broke after it because of how much money they spend to put the new arenas in, the new stadiums and stuff like that, the new events.
And they have no revenue stream to keep those facilities up.
No. But
speaking of stadium, the empty stadium where the torch guy comes into the stadium, was that pre-recorded or was it actually empty when they did that ceremony?
I think it was empty. Yeah, I think that was pre-recorded.
That's so stupid.
I think it was pre-recorded. Like when he showed he was a French comedian and he hands it to Zardan or Zandan. When he hands it to the soccer player, the famous soccer player, I think that was pre-recorded.
So the stadium wasn't really empty, the ceremony?
No.
I thought that was just stupid.
Yeah, it was him. I don't know. I think it was just kind of showing, I don't speak French, that they were moved out of the stadium and were doing it elsewhere. And I think that's what he was kind of showing, and then gave it to the French soccer player to run with the torch.
I guess every opening ceremony is like that. You can't really tell what's live and what was pre-recorded.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I watched it twice because I came home from work and I turned it on. I kind of dozed off. And then when I woke up after having my long nap, I kind of watched it again. But even then, I kind of dozed off. It's causing quite the stir.
Doesn't that happen every time?
Yeah, but these people are getting overboard with this. They're trying to say that they imitated the Last Supper.
Oh. And they did, but
no,
there's been lots of imitations of that painting.
But it wasn't supposed to be that way. It was supposed to be a Greek dinner with two different gods. and one of them was god of the Olympics, and then the other one was like a god of wine. And they it's something called Bacchus or something like that, but there was a reason behind it. But it just shows how egocentric.
We're talking about the scene at the table with all the drag queens.
Yeah.
That was different.
Okay. That was supposed to be.
And it was sort of a.
It wasn't meant to be.
A satire on the Da Vinci painting.
That's not what I've read about it, though.
Well, it depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah, that's true.
Who's complaining.
Yeah, that's true.
There has been so many different...
South Park made a...
yeah. Battlestar Galactica did.
Yeah. I think it's just ridiculous. First off, nobody was there during the Last Supper, so you don't know what it freaking looked like. I can't imagine it wasn't as feastly as the painting portrays. It's not like they had cameras back then.
In those days, people didn't sit at the table.
No.
They lounged.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. I mean, they literally ate while they were laying down.
Yeah.
So it couldn't have been that way.
Yeah. But for Christians to be that bent out of shape about it, it's like, no, the world doesn't revolve around your religion. There's other religions out there. That's like kind of my point. It's like, come on. I mean, there's people blowing up Facebook about it and TikTok, and it's all silly.
Just need something to talk about, kind of like us.
Yeah, and it's like people got upset about the non-binary threesome that people were talking about. I don't know if you saw that.
In the Olympics.
Yeah, you didn't see that part?
No, I didn't.
It was some dancers dancing around, and then they went into a bedroom, and they were all kissing on each other, and then they closed the door before anything happened. But they're pretty much non-binary. You couldn't tell if they were men or women and this and that. And people were referring to it as the non-binary menage a trois. And it's like, it's 2024. Oh, it's not appropriate for children.
Very appropriate for the Greeks.
Yeah, very appropriate for the Greeks. And they weren't doing anything.
Just kissing.
Not even that. It was like they'd go and they'd feign a kiss or something like that. So it was like, and it was very artistic, I thought. You know, I thought Aguirre, I'm afraid you probably don't know who that is, was very good. That was the metal group that played. They came down. Well, that's when they lit the torch.
Nobody can see your hand.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. They came down and they lit the torch. And then, or they came up and they lit the torch. And all these fireworks went over the bridge. And then they spread out over this church. It looked like it was a castle. And Aguirre was in there playing. And Aguirre means Godzilla in French. And it's a huge, huge, huge heavy metal band in France. And they rocked it out. I mean, but then they were like, oh, the red fireworks. Well, there was red, white, and blue fireworks on it, from what I understand, from what I saw. But they're like, they made the red fireworks look like the church was burning. Or not, but it was bleeding. The church was bleeding. So it's, I don't know.
Well, I think the emphasis on art was appropriate for the French.
Yeah.
Because the Louvre is there.
Yeah, exactly.
So. And the scenes where the torchbearer is going through a museum and seeing all these art pieces brought to life.
Yeah.
It's a good way to represent France, I think.
I thought that was really neat, too, how the paintings were empty because the characters in the painting got out to watch the opening ceremonies. I thought that was pretty neat. Like you said, there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs about every Olympic ceremony, so...
And art in general is supposed to be
provocative,
controversial.
Yeah,
to make you think.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I fell asleep. It was just because I was tired. The one thing that did make me laugh, they had this French pianist playing, and you couldn't tell that. You could tell that it was raining. You couldn't tell how heavily it was raining, but he was playing. He had like a solo thing, and they zoomed in on him. He looked miserable. He's literally playing it, and his eyes are rolling in the back of his head. And they're like, this pianist is like one of the world's best, and he's playing it. It was beautiful.
It probably ruined a perfectly good piano, too.
That's when you could really see how heavy it was raining off the top of the piano. They had the piano closed, and the water was just beaded up, and it was just splashing and falling down. And he's literally playing, rolling his eyes. I mean, he can't do it anymore.
Couldn't they have somebody hold an umbrella over him or something?
Yeah, and like a lot of people said, they were like, come on, France. It's like, It rains there quite a bit, apparently. I've never been to Paris, so I don't know. So, like, you couldn't have come up with something where to help these people out in the rain, you know what I mean? So, but
they should have consulted Disneyland Tokyo, because in Tokyo it rains constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a their own version of Disney World or Disneyland. And the Main Street parts are all covered with awnings and stuff, so you can still enjoy your visit while it's raining.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
The Olympics could have easily done that.
Yeah. But to put on that multi-million dollar event, and then Old Man Weather shows up and says, not so far. So,
maybe it was God telling him something.
Yeah, he didn't like the whole skip poof on Christianity either, so he's pissed. I'm going to rain on your parade, literally.
Well, the funniest thing that I saw was Tom Daly. He's gay.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been in several Olympics.
It's just like his fifth Olympics. He's a British diver.
And he's kind of cute for a twink.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the flag bearer this year.
Okay.
And he took a selfie.
Mm-hmm.
And titled it Flag Bearer, only he left the L out, so it said Fag Bearer.
That's cute. That's really cute. See, I'm surprised I haven't heard about that. People are probably upset about that, too.
Oh, who knows?
But that's cute. That is cute. He caused a big uproar last year, or the last Olympics when he was up. He was knitting a sweater. Apparently, he likes to knit when he's stressed out. And they showed him
doing that yesterday.
Oh, was he? Mm-hmm. During the competition. Mm-hmm. He just sits in the stands and just knits. And people are like, how can he not be focused? It's like, that's probably the most focused he can get. He's not. Every athlete warms up differently. You know what I mean? They keep their mind off the race or whatever competition you're in. And that's one thing. Like, when I rode, not comparing to what I did with these super mega athletes do, but there's a long time in between your competitions. Like rowing, we would get up there the higher your seniority was, the bigger the main event was, they were later on in the day. So if you were in varsity, there's times you get there at the next to the lake or the reservoir, wherever the regatta was being held, at 7 o'clock in the morning, you get there, have to unload your boats and stuff like that, so it gives them to do. But then your race wouldn't be till 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so there you had plenty of downtime to sit around. But you know, you're there to race and you're trying to get yourself in the mind frame, so you always find something to do. And it was always funny seeing how people, what they did to learn how to relax. And
no masturbation allowed.
No masturbation allowed. So but yeah, it's just some, but athletes have a different way of doing it. So but
well, I think the Olympic ceremony, that opening thing is really the only part of the Olympics I ever watched.
No, you watch some of it begrudgingly.
Because you have it on and I don't have a choice.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't even pick up the remote to turn on the Olympics.
I know.
But I think the gayest moments were the saving grace. And that was Lady Gaga and Celine Dion.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see the Lady Gaga part. What did she wind up doing?
It was supposed to be a big, huge secret. I mean, she was supposed to be a surprise when they revealed her, but I think everybody already knew.
Oh, okay. I saw the Celine Dion part, so
And considering her condition,
yeah,
I mean, that's probably the last public performance she'll ever have.
Yeah, yeah. Because she has, like, some sort of disease that's ruining her voice.
Body disease or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's ruining her vocal cords or something like that.
She can't move.
Oh, wow, that's got to suck.
Yeah.
Man. You never realize how bad some people really have it, so.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I didn't see the Lady Gaga part. I guess that's one of the parts I just slept through. So, how many out gay athletes will compete at the Olympics this summer?
The summer 2024 Olympics has 152 out athletes.
Wow. 131 female and 19 men.
And 2 non-binary. That's about half the number that there was in 2020.
Wow.
And I think it's sort of a sign of the times. The athletes in the 2020 Olympics did not get, or the out athletes did not get the endorsements and whatever that the other athletes got.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the athletes this year are being a lot more cautious about coming out.
Yeah, it would be if you know,
times have changed.
Yeah, it's a shame that they are, but you could make a lot of money by being an athlete. Would you do
well, it? Well, the top people of the professions. I think most people probably don't make much money at it.
Yeah.
Especially Olympics, because you can't be a professional, right? It's,
no, it's
only amateur.
No, they changed it. They changed it a long time ago. That's why you have the NBA players playing basketball and stuff like that. So, but, I mean, there's some sports that just aren't. Even if it's professional, it's not. They don't get paid very well.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of them, they get the, every 4 years they get big paychecks because they get endorsements because of the Olympics. You'll see them pop up like a year before the Olympics and they're in car commercials or just random commercials and stuff like that. It's because they get sponsorships from these people who endorse them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I mean, I guess, would you keep your mouth shut about if you were gay or not, if depending on you getting a multi-million-dollar?
For millions of dollars,
be quiet.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's come a long way. I mean, you look at the first one, 2004, there was 47 females, 13 males, no non-binary.
That's the first year. 2004 was the first year that anybody started counting.
Then, I mean, that was 60 athletes, so we're at 152 now. And I imagine there was probably about the same total every year. And then it's just people aren't opening up and telling mm-hmm. people they're being quiet. I mean, but that's a huge difference. I mean, that's almost 100% difference between 2020 and 2024.
Oh, it's double.
Yeah. No, it's about 100. Yeah,
152 to 249. That's about double.
Yeah, that's a shame that it's that way. But, you know, what can you do?
Let's see. Gus Kenworthy's Kiss Seen Around the World.
I didn't see that.
It wasn't a Summer Olympics. It was a Winter Olympics. I think 2014.
Okay.
In Sochi? Was that in Sochi?
Could have been.
Yeah. I don't think he even placed first, second, or third, but after after he got down the
mountain,
the skis, got down the mountain, he came up to his boyfriend then and gave him a big kiss, and the cameras were rolling, and it was too late for them to turn away, I guess.
Caused a big stir.
And his boyfriend at the time was a famous actor. I don't remember his name, but if you saw him, you'd recognize him.
Oh, really?
They've broken up since.
Oh, wow. You don't hear much about Gus Kenworthy much anymore.
I do, but that's because I specifically follow the name in my feeds.
Okay, what's he been up to?
Being gay.
Just being gay and happy?
Yeah. Remember Coming Out Colton?
Mm-hmm.
He was Colton's advisor in show.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah. So he just advises people, celebrities coming out of the closet now?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not hard to look at either.
No, he's very good. He's very easy to look at. He's a little cub, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. You're exactly your type.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, this is a pretty quick one. The Special Olympics and the 1982 Gay Games.
Do you know about that?
I didn't know about the 82 Gay Games.
There is another Olympics called the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
That's held every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same year as the regular Olympics.
Yeah.
But it's called the Special Olympics, and it's for disabled people.
You're talking about the Paralympics.
No. The Paralympics, that's part of the regular Olympics.
Okay.
It's held at the same time.
Okay.
Special Olympics is for...
mentally handicapped.
Yeah.
Okay.
And... it's always been called the Special Olympics since it started. Well, in 1982, Tom Waddell, who was an Olympic athlete in, was it Mexico City?
Mm-hmm.
He thought the out gay athletes at that time were just treated atrociously.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to give them an alternative.
Okay.
So they came out with the Gay Olympics.
Okay.
And it was a pretty broad organization. And something like 1 month before they were going to have their games, the Olympics committee sued them.
Really?
And said, you cannot use the word Olympics.
That's crazy. Well,
never mind that the Special Olympics gets a pass on that every 4 years or whatever. But they said, you cannot call it the Gay Olympics. And they won.
Really?
They won. The court says, you can't call yourself the Gay Olympics. And by then, they had already printed all of their merchandise, all of their hats and shirts and t-shirts, even the medals that they gave the athletes. All had to be destroyed. And part of the court order was it had to be destroyed. They couldn't sell it secondhand or anything.
Wow.
And they lost something like $30,000 in lost merchandise and stuff.
That's a shame.
And I remember I was watching TV, the news that day, and the woman who was the lawyer for the, now they call it the Federation of Gay Games, she was the one who defended them in court. She says, well, the court says we can't say Gay Olympics, but I'm here to say Gay Olympics, Gay Olympics, Gay Olympics.
Good for her. That's funny. Good for her. I wonder how much trouble she got in for that.
She was a lawyer, so.
Yeah. So, that's interesting. That's very interesting. I never knew that.
The Gay Games has, I'd say, a lot going for it. For instance, the athletes are not, they don't represent their countries.
Okay.
They represent the cities that they're from.
Okay.
So it's not as worldwide political as.
As the Olympics are.
Yeah.
Well, good.
And they have a lot of good rules. They don't even ask what your sexual orientation is when you apply. Anybody can. And I think that in their attempts to be inclusive have caused a lot of, I don't want to say problems, but the Gay Games has never been successful.
Okay.
It does go on. I think it's in the 2 year period between the Olympics.
Okay.
But they've never made any money at it. They've always lost money.
And, that's a shame.
I think Ontario wanted to host it last year, but dropped out.
Really?
Basically said, we don't want to do this anymore. So there's a lot of controversy, I guess, still.
Wow.
And anytime you get three gay people together, they're not going to be conflicts of...
They can't decide on...
Yeah.
The sunrises are set. So, imagine a whole committee trying to put on an event that large.
Worldwide
event, that's just not going to work out. Well, is that it for then?
That's it for this week.
Okay. So what's your favorite joke this week?
Do you know which country refused to allow their athletes to get on the boat?
Vietnam. That's so politically incorrect. Can't believe I just said that. What?
Bermuda.
God. I'm so bad. All right.
We hope you enjoyed episode 113 of the Bear and Kura podcast. This is Bear.
This is Kura.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to the Bear and Kura podcast, a production of the Land of Oz Information Services. We can be contacted via email using the address podcast@oz.com. And Oz is spelled AWES.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.